Hello, my name is Linda Jakobsen. I'm the East Asia Program Director at the Lowy Institute for International Policy. I'm joined today by Dr. Kang Choi of the Asan Institute in Seoul. We have just finished the workshop in Beijing on Northeast Asia politics and security dynamics. Dr. Choi was one of our speakers, and I'm going to have a brief conversation with him. Dr. Choi.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
I'd like to ask you about South Korea's relations with China. One can say that after President Park, newly elected president of South Korea, the first South Korean president who speaks fluent Mandarin, met with Xi Jinping last June, ties have been characterized as rather good. Mm-hmm. But obviously, challenges remain.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe these challenges?
I think, first of all, the June summit between President Park Geun-hye and President Xi Jinping was quite successful. Actually, President Park Geun-hye was treated very well, and it was almost similar to the state visit, but it was a working level visit. But anyhow, the expectation is too high at this point of time. Of course, Chinese expectation is too high. So whether South Korea can meet the Chinese expectation in coming period is quite important to one. For that, I think that's how we are going to implement what we have agreed in the summit is quite critical one. I think the most critical is the how much both South Korea and China can cooperate on their policy toward North Korea. That's actually a diverging perspective between Korea and China up to now. At this point of time, of course, there are various other agreements about economy and trade issue like that. But I think that's the most diverging perspective between the two countries is their policy toward North Korea. China has begun to change its policy toward North Korea a little bit. For example, actually before that, China actually seems to be very cooperative with the United States and South Korea. Now China is saying the flexibility and dialogue. So that's the beginning of a slight change of Chinese posture. Maybe China is returning to its previous policy line. That's first one. Second point, maybe the second to the security issue, how South Korea and China can conclude free trade agreement in what time framework and to what level. Of course, I was really surprised when the two presidents agreed to have higher standard FTA. Initially, we expected maybe medium to low standard FTA between the two countries because of some sensitive issues between the two countries, but they agreed to have a high level or high standards FTA. So up to now, I think the first round of negotiation was quite successful. But once we get into the more sensitive issue like agricultural product and investment issue, I think there will be some differences between the two countries, how we can overcome those differences and conclude the FTA in a relative, maybe in a couple of years. That's the second most important one. Of course, third aspect of that the summit was they agreed on the inter-exchange of some philosophy or the social science exchange. I think that's going to be very well. But actually, there's how we are going to open up the dialogue for denuclearization of Korean Peninsula and how we can bring North Korea back to the negotiation table. I think that's the most immediate challenge. I wonder China is really changing, because actually June summit, Sunnyland summit, China actually emphasized, of course, a new model of major power relations, and also China seemed to change its policy toward North Korea, more aligned toward the United States. So how do you assess the possibility of Chinese change in its policy toward the neighboring countries as well as at the global level?
Well, Dr. Choi, I agree with you that we are seeing a slight change. Certainly, Xi Jinping has been willing to, in public, indicate that his patience with North Korea is running thin. Mm-hmm. And this is something we did not see in the Hu Jintao era. In fact, we haven't seen a coddling of Kim Jong-un as we did in the Hu Jintao era. But I think that it is much too early to tell. I also think it's much too early to expect a strategic change in China's posture. This is in part tactical, There's every reason to believe that Xi Jinping wants very constructive relations with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He's already shown it. There was a successful summit, Sunnyland Summit. After that, the strategic dialogue. Many concrete measures came out of the strategic economic dialogue. So there's a desire on the part of Xi Jinping now to forge a constructive relationship, and North Korea is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hearing the right things. Mm-hmm. But China will not, at the end of the day, in my view, give up its stance that it doesn't want to see instability, it doesn't want to push North Korea to the brink.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view generally. And when we're talking about the United States, let's just have one more theme here in this conversation, and that's, how do you, from Seoul's point of view, from the point of view of South Korea, view the United States today and its commitment to rebalancing toward Asia, so to speak?
For the past 2 years, United States have been emphasizing rebalancing or pivot to Asia. But now I think the United States is more focusing on Middle East issue again, as it used to be. So that leads to South Koreans to believe, maybe to be more concerned with inconsistency of U.S. policy toward East Asia. Second, whether United States has a capability and resources to realize the rebalancing strategy toward East Asia. That's a critical one. But at the current moment, I think the United States should assure its allies it is fully committed to the defense of its allies and the peace and stability in the region. But unfortunately, unlike the Secretary Clinton, John Kerry is not so much concerned. Of course, he must be tied up with the Syrian issue very much nowadays, but actually he has not shown any the enthusiasm, the same level of enthusiasm toward the stage at this point of time. Of course, there are many issues to be discussed between the United States and its allies, for example, the forced relocation issues and burden sharing, all these things to be ironed out. But actually, at the strategic level, the statement was quite good, but the actions have not been followed, have not followed that the word yet. So I think that we are rather concerned. But it's kind of similar situation to when we had the 90s, for example, where actually at the point of time, East Asian states were very much concerned whether the United States would withdraw its commitment from East Asia. And then to assure that United States issued East Asian strategic review and also affirmed that it is going to maintain 100,000 troop levels and also to upgrade its forces, all these things were there. But actually at this point of time, only thing what we have is only the bubble statement. Of course, rhetoric matters very much, but actually what I need to see more concrete actions United States can assure its allies about its security commitment to its allies and the region. But actually we are very much concerned, actually, because always United States hijacked by Middle Eastern issues. Top priority is given to Middle East. So the Syria, on that actually, Syrian issue has great implication for South Korea. Whether United States will be able to implement a security commitment when something happens on the Korean Peninsula. Actually, United States was not able to mobilize international support for the military action. Russia and China actually were blocking the military action. Maybe if something happened in North Korea, maybe the Russia and China would stand up against any use of the forces by the United States and or ask this early termination of hostility, all these things. That would cause a tremendous problem for South Korea. So I think that the United States should not just simply focus on Syrian issue, but also to focus on the implication of Syrian issues for other regional allies in East Asia.
Thank you very much, Dr. Choi.
Thank you.